Chapter 37. It was several days before the medics, with consultation from Dr. Roman, agreed that Gao was healthy enough to undertake the trip back to his base of operations. In that time, Reach and the others solidified their understanding of what had likely happened. Boone had somehow traveled off course. How that happened, and how they got back on course, was something they might never know, unless Alexis somehow recovered her memories, which neither the AI nor Roman thought was possible. A RUPAC vessel was launched after Boone departed. Developments in the war back home resulted in Muir and Longmire launching together. And since no other ships had been discovered, it would seem that only these three American colony ships were sent, and that all three were probably presumed lost. The Osei people, like the RUPAC, had spent long stretches in cryo until power supply issues made that altogether impossible. But unlike the RUPAC, some of the Osei lived out their lives, building a fledgling colony and then making it sustainable if modest. The two elements, the Osei and RUPAC, had had sporadic skirmishes over the years, but for the most part these were nothing more than desperate raids by RUPAC soldiers who woke up from cryostasis with grim prospects of survival. And then there were the healthy RUPAC soldiers. Their origin was still unclear, but the sense from Turner's translations of Gao was that they had become the new ruling class. Unfortunately, they were true loyalists, as demonstrated by the soldier who had sat so derisively through interrogation. He'd hanged himself 2 days later. There would be little room for negotiation with that group. Captain Bosa had tried to secure additional information from the CENTCON source, which he now considered to be of questionable authority. But any information not pertaining to the apprehension of the AI was scarce. They gave vague descriptions of some cataclysmic fight against rogue artificial intelligences, a fight that united the peoples of Earth and ended World War III. But they would not say more until they arrived at Amir in person. Reach held suspicions. They all did. But they stuck to their plan of keeping this information from Dr. Roman and Alexa. They had no reason to trust their source, but neither did they have a reason to distrust them. And in the event that Alexa really did pose a threat, secrecy, for now at least, seemed the wisest course. And yet Bosa also determined that he would not simply hand the AIs over. He intended to meet with the incoming team first. Before agreeing to anything, he wanted a concrete understanding of precisely who these people were and what the state of the United States government was, not to mention the state of Earth itself. After some back and forth, this was agreed to. The CENTCOM group estimated they would arrive in a week's time. In the interim, it was time to visit Gao's camp. Sergeant Tran's squad was assigned to the mission, accompanied by Reach and Alexa.
Still got it, Brody said as they waited for Alexa in the center of camp.
Brody, said Specialist Day, you don't have to call it out every time you pick up a transmission.
I just call out the ones that tickle, citizen.
The soldiers had grown close with Brody. He was unorthodox, yes, but he was also lethal, and often good for a laugh. Gao, however, hadn't warmed up to the war machine in the least. He kept himself as far from the demon as he could. Soon the sound of an incoming predator hauler filled the pre-dawn sky, and as it came in for a landing, the familiar wash of grit peppered Reach and the team.
Not bad, PFC Unger said as he spit out a mouth of grit. Damn sure better than the dust storm that gets kicked up over at Camp Muir.
That's because their camp ain't paved, Kreese said.
You don't pave a place you're planning on abandoning, said Corporal Massaw.
How long you been in the Army, Massaw? Day asked, eliciting laughs from the rest of the squad. The Predator's door opened, and Alexa stepped off and looked around.
You've made significant progress on the camp in my absence. I'm impressed. Where's Dr. Roman? I expected to see him here.
Brody crossed his arms.
Dad's busy fixing Leanna. Be glad you get to go along for the mission, Golden Girl, seeing as how Reach doesn't want me to have any fun.
Reach looked over to the AI. Brody, you know why I chose Alexa over you? It's because you deleted your ability to speak any language except Osei, English, and...
Chegchu, Judge Vam, Judge Kak!
Right, Klingon.
They're a noble people.
Anyway, since we'll be dealing with the RUPAC, most of whom don't speak Klingon, just a guess,
That means I need Alexa. And since we have to keep at least one of you two at Camp Muir for defense, I have to leave you there.
Fine. Let's get to the chopper,
Brody lamented, climbing aboard the Predator.
I ain't got time to bleed.
After dropping off Brody at Camp Muir, the Predator took an uneventful flight to a clearing 10 kilometers west of the position Gao had marked on their maps as belonging to his Rupak comrades. They had initially planned to land at a similar position due east of the Rupak camp, but Gao had objected, explaining that this was where the forest was most thick with the predatory lion beasts the Yosei called Zaskonek. After the team disembarked, the pilot departed with instructions to report to Captain Bosa that they had arrived safely. They continued to avoid long-range comms based on the fear that such transmissions might be intercepted. Soon they were moving through the forest, with Unga on point and Reach, Alexa, and Gao in the middle. The woods were the same black and white that the rangers were now used to, but the trees were larger, with more spacing between them, and little in the way of old or fallen trees.
I suspect this was the site of a forest fire not long ago, Alexa said.
Couldn't have been that recent, Reach replied, or it would have burned up the Rupak camp. Alexa arched an eyebrow.
You assume they are situated in or near the forest. Gao only said a clearing next to the forest.
Reach shrugged. Well, not enough of a clearing to have been visible from our flyovers, is it?
Time will soon reveal.
As they pushed on, enjoying the morning sunlight, the terrain grew rockier, stones and boulders scattered about as though deposited there by some long-ago glacier. Reach marveled at the thought of another planet with its own natural history. Did Amir have a Grand Canyon? Would there be falls to rival Niagara? Rivers like the Amazon and Nile? If ever the basic fight for survival could be overcome, and making peace with the Rupak elements would play a critical role in that, the opportunities for discovery were limitless. Unga identified a new species, some sort of lizard basking itself on a high rock. It was roughly the size of a squirrel and had dark gray and white coloration.
Let's name that species after Kreese, he said. Lazy ass just sitting on that rock, doing nothing. Don't even move when we walk by it.
The men laughed out loud at the joke, though it had been delivered by implant. This made Gao look around curiously. Alexa quietly explained what had happened.
Like new Rupak, Gao replied.
Alexa and Reach shared a look. That was a definitive statement that blew apart the notion that the healthy Rupak men had been with Gao all along. If it was them the man meant.
How much have you talked with Gao? Alexa asked, communicating in private over the implant.
Hardly at all. I was there when he was first interrogated, but after that I was busy moving between the Muir and Ohio colonies. Alexa nodded.
It is a mistake to assume these two Rupak groups are compatriots.
Won't argue with you about that. Other than the drones, they've steered clear of us. We're the ones causing all the damage.
So far, Alexa said.
Right. Alexa froze in place. I hear it too, Reach said. He pulled Gao toward a massive tree trunk and called to the team, Drone, cover! The rangers disappeared into the landscape, rolling beneath washed-out hollows under massive stones, flattening themselves against the bases of trees as the buzz of a drone whirred high overhead. You sure? Tran asked. Apparently only Alexa and Reach could hear it. Alexa stared into the sky. The sun shone brightly against her face, and to Reach it seemed surreal that she didn't shade her eyes.
I can see it, she said. It's moving toward the landing zone.
They held their positions, careful not to move. Unga found himself face to face with the lizard, a mere meter away. The creature hissed, then opened its mouth wide to reveal tiny, sharp teeth meant to rend and tear insects. Unga flipped the animal off in reply.
All right, we can move, Alexa said after a moment, helping Gao up. We're 2 kilometers off by my internal tracking.
They marched. Gao told them that they were very nearly there. Sergeant Tran looked west.
All I see are more trees and wide open spaces. You sure this commie isn't lost?
Or marching us into a trap? Massaw hissed.
I'll go ahead and scout the remaining distance, said Alexa.
Take Massaw and Vance with you, Reach said.
If we find what we're looking for, I want him and his spotter in position in case we aren't afforded a warm welcome.
I thought we were only supposed to verify the camp was here, said Tran. Go back home and drop some leaflets, not waltz right in.
If there's an opportunity to get this done today, Sergeant, I intend to take it. Tran held Reach's stare.
All right. We'll back you up.
Alexa returned faster than any of the waiting group thought she would.
Where's Vance and Massa?
Tran asked.
In position, she said. It's right where Gao said it would be.
Reach took the point position for himself and Gao and motioned for Alexa to join him.
Reach, said Tran over implant. Now would be the time to let the Rupak know that if it tries to give away our position or do a double cross, he don't get to live to see tomorrow.
Reach nodded. I'll remind him. They pushed on the last kilometer, stopping at the mouth of a ravine.
Oh, I see, Day said. Couldn't tell this was here until you got up close.
Alexa nodded. The ravine is sufficiently shaded by the old growth above it to hide the crash site from view.
She winked at Reach.
And it's low enough to be safe from any forest fires as well.
Yeah, Reach replied.
He transferred Gao to Kreese.
Keep an eye on him.
I'm a great babysitter, sir.
Reach dropped to his stomach and began to crawl his way toward the edge of the ravine so he could afford himself a look straight down.
Let's see what we're dealing with.
Massaw, where you at? Sergeant Tran asked.
In a tree at your 8 o'clock. Best view of the valley I could get without leaning out over the edge, heading down, or trying to get to the other side.
Roger.
Tran was soon at Reach's side, with Alexa joining him on the other side.
Hell of a crash landing, huh? Tran said. Pilot must have had balls of steel.
Or got lucky, Reach said.
The ravine was 300 meters deep and perhaps 400 meters wide, making it a tight fit for the Rupak craft, which apparently lacked the ability to break into independently flying pods. It wasn't intact. There were still pieces of wreckage everywhere, some of them nearly worn through with decay. But it did have a singular bulk. And there were Rupak soldiers milling all about, cooking something over a fire pit to obscure the smoke.
Well, they learned that much, Reach thought to himself.
There were no buildings, no dwellings. The Rupak survivors were clearly living inside the wreckage itself. It looked as though they'd made some attempt at growing crops, but the hand-plowed soil wasn't producing much beyond a few withered green plants.
Look at that down there, Massaw whispered. Pathetic, man.
They're undisciplined, that's for sure, said Tran. Not hard to imagine why they got rocked so hard going up against Rangers. Even if they weren't starving, I think the outcome would have been the same. Only thing I wonder is why they attacked at all.
You get used to following blindly, and that's all you can do, said Reach.
One of the men pulled something from the fire pit. Definitely an animal of some sort, but Reach couldn't tell what. He wished he had field mags. And then he found that as he concentrated on a faraway object, it began to grow in size, as though his eyes were doing the magnification for him.
Alexa, did you give me supervision? If you stare at something long enough, your mind will enhance and enlarge, sending a magnified image to your brain.
So I'm not actually seeing it closer.
Correct. That would have required cybernetic implants. You are, however, able to focus on fine details. The human brain is poised for a number of biological breakthroughs, from enhanced and low-light vision to perfect storage and recall. We simply unlocked those abilities. Think of it as accelerating what natural selection would have done in another 10,000 generations.
10,000, huh?
Give or take.
Can you see whatever that guy down there pulled from the fire?
Of course.
Alexa transmitted a crisp image to reach his mind. No, not an image. A magnified live feed from Alexa's eyes. The sensation was unsettling, but not altogether new. It was more or less like the mental picture-in-picture he'd experienced on the night Tran's team found Liana.
What is that thing? He asked. It looks like a giant wasp.
They pulled the stinger from its abdomen and are rolling what I believe to be its venom sac over a flat piece of wreckage. It's quite malleable.
I think I know what that is. Liana called them Soraka. They sting you, cause all kinds of problems.
but apparently their venom can be ingested as a sort of narcotic. Jose Creswell said it removes pain and fear. I would say you have a solid theory on your hands, given the way the Rupak soldiers behaved in battle, Alexa said.
Anyone see a way down? Tran asked. Like some switchbacks or something?
I see something like that toward the end of the ravine, Massaw reported. But you'll have to get to my post to see it.
All right, sir,
Tran said, looking through polarized binoculars at the camp below.
We found it. We paying these guys a visit, or?
Hold on.
Oh, no, said Alexa.
What?
Reach asked. But then he saw it himself. A group of black-clad Rupak soldiers, healthy and strong, emerged from the crashed ship. Behind them were more of the emaciated soldiers carrying crates taken from within. The shouts of the new Rupak carried up the wall of the ravine.
That's Russian, isn't it?
Tran asked.
Reach listened.
And Mandarin. I can't make it out, though.
Alexa?
She shook her head. It was soon clear, even without a translation. The new Rupak were rounding up the survivors, yelling and kicking at them to pick up the pace.
Bring Gao to the front, Reach ordered.
Kreese hustled the prisoner forward.
What's happening?
Reach asked, surprising Gao and himself by being able to whisper in the man's language. Gao squinted.
Here, said Tran, handing his mags to Gao.
Gao whispered something and Reach quickly translated.
He says he was afraid this would happen. These are Rupak, but from a different outfit. They are very bad.
Alexa asked when it was that his people first encountered this different outfit.
Weeks ago, Gao replied in Mandarin. After the colonel was killed in the last assault on the American camp.
Camp Ohio?
Reach asked. Gao shook his head.
First camp. With Demon Brody.
Reach thought about the timeline. That had been the last time that these Rupak had attacked, and it also marked the first time they encountered the drone. So did these new Rupak just get here? That had to be it. But, from where?
All right, he said, inching back from the edge of the ravine. No going down there now. We need to get back and report. Sergeant Tran, can you escort Gao back to the LZ?
Roger. What about you?
Alexa and I need to report to Camp Ohio faster than that.
Last 50 clicks, sir. You gonna get there faster than hiking back to the LZ and waiting for the scheduled pickup?
Reach looked to Alexa.
Got your running shoes on?
The android smiled.
Always,